So I have a little story to start with. I'm in my office, and a student walks in my office and says, "Hey, I want to learn what works in the playoffs." And I say, "Well, I've studied all this baseball stuff for a while, and I think the best thing is to have a great player. I want Pedro, and I want Mariano Rivera on my team to win the playoffs." And I thought that would be the end of it. And the student said, "No, I want to know what works in the playoffs." And I said, "Well, the playoff structure is kind of really messy. You know, it's really hard to study. And, you know, there's small sample sizes, and the playoff format always changes. It just creates a real problem to try to study it well. So, you know, maybe we study something else." And the student goes, "I want to learn what works in the playoffs." And I go, "Well, you know, it's kind of been studied before. People have looked at it. It's an obvious question. Let's see what works in the playoffs versus the regular season. Because if we knew that, that'd be a nice secret sauce to have to win the World Series and have flags fly forever." And so I said, "It's really, really hard to study. But people have looked at it before, and they really haven't found much. It's probably a very small effect. Maybe it's pitching. Maybe it's batting. It doesn't seem to be fielding. But, you know, it's still really hard to study. And maybe it's a small effect. So why don't we go study, you know, runs created plus or something?" And the student goes, "I want to know what works in the playoffs." And so because of EJ's persistence and his desire to learn this, we embarked on a study to try to better understand what works in the playoffs specifically. Now, here's a graph of the probabilities of making the playoffs. We started in 48 integration. You could choose a place to start, but pre-1969, it was two teams, as you know. But then you can see the probability of making the playoffs really vary year to year. This is a messy slide if you want to study what works in the playoffs. Playoff structures always change. And we threw out the two bananas years of 2020 and 1981 anyway, because they were extra different. So it's complicated. But looking at this as a starting point, we started to aggregate these different playoff formats into different eras. We call them eras 1, 2, and 3. They're basically aggregated different sections of playoffs that look sort of similar if you look sideways a little bit. So that was our first step, is to really start better understanding playoff formats and how to look at them, okay? And then we wanted to understand what was done previously. So I asked EJ to study this one very important work by Nate Silver. Nate Silver did a great study in 2006 on what works in the playoffs. In a wonderful book, and if you want to start learning a little more analytics and get your feet wet on this, you might want to pick up this book. It's published 16 years ago, but it's a very valuable book to start learning more. It's Baseball Between the Numbers by the Baseball Prospectus staff. Nate Silver has a chapter in there on what works in the playoffs. So I said, "Hey, you know, EJ, go ahead and read this. This is a nice start to start studying this problem." Now, Nate only took a certain set of years. But one thing they did very well was create a little structure to try to measure playoff success. He called it PSP, Playoff Success Points. He created this little rubric to understand playoff success. And it's a nice start, okay? But we don't know a whole lot about Nate's choices and methods here. He just describes it. And he concludes, though, importantly, from this little study in the book, he starts concluding what might be useful. One big takeaway, though, is the PSP, the playoff success points rubric he creates. But he also concludes that it's probably pitching that matters in the playoffs. There's a correlation, the best correlation. He starts this sort of trend from Russell Carlton and Eno Saris doing work later, that the winning percentage of the regular season in the regular season is the key factor to predicting playoff success. In other words, playing well in the regular season predicts the best way to predict playoff performance. So winning percentage seems to work, but what other factors might work as well? Silver concludes it's probably defense. It's probably pitching. It's probably some other measures of bullpen success. So that's a conclusion. But he basically also says it's a small effect, and it's not a huge piece that's going to change the secret sauce. We know what works in the playoffs. So he concludes again. Here's the summary of what he concludes on the slides. The next set of work is summarized very well by Ben Lindbergh in Grantland in a series of articles. He works with Russell Carlton, another researcher from Baseball Perspectives and other places. So Carlton's work, he tries to answer the same question, what works in the playoffs? Now, they conclude right away that the gold standard of predicting playoff success is winning percentage of the regular season, okay? The other great thing that Ben does is address all these myths that work in the playoffs, okay? Other theories of playoff success that are widely reported in the media and by coaches and by other people who follow baseball are these, that teams with a better recent playoff record, if you're hot, you do better in the playoffs. Carlton looked at that and concluded that's not true. If you had postseason experience versus being a rookie who hasn't played in the postseason, that seemed to make a difference. There's a conventional wisdom that works. Well, when you look at it, you can't find it. And the same thing, Terry Francona says, it's more important to play small ball. Home run power, winning games by the home run doesn't work in the playoffs. Well, it turns out that is a myth also, that it doesn't seem to show up when you analyze it. And there's another myth that elite starting pitching at the top of the rotation seems to matter. Our bias always says we remember when Bumgarner and Hershiser and other pitchers just blow through the playoffs, so it seems to matter. Well, that's when you analyze it, it just doesn't show up. These are myths, okay? Again, though, it's really, really hard to study. So if anything you're looking at in the playoffs for playoff success, it's probably a very small effect. Now, the other study I want to cover is Eno Saris. He recently looked at playoff success. He had a method where he aggregated playoff teams, top 20% playoff teams by winning percentage versus the other 80% to see if there's any difference. You can look it up in The Athletic if you'd like to look at Eno's work. So he looked at a certain set of years to see if there's anything. And he kept concluding, there's really nothing I can find. When I structure the data this way to ask the question, is there anything that works in the playoffs? So this is a chart he has. And the one thing he kind of hints at is that if you're a good contact team, you strike out less, you seem to have this small, subtle effect, a small effect, if anything, of being a good contact team. So, he says, well, as strikeouts are going up now in the playoffs, as fastball velocity is going up and it's becoming much more of a power game in the playoffs, maybe having batters that are able to make contact makes a difference. So that's Saris. He says that, but it's a very small effect. I mean, he keeps saying it's probably not that big a deal. We really can't find anything. So in conclusion, reviewing all this with EJ, he keeps saying, well, let's keep looking. Let's try to find it. And so what we decided to do was try to find a better method to cover more sample size, to try to cover more playoffs. Now, as we looked at it, that era one before 1969, when it was just two teams from each league making the World Series, there's really nothing there, okay? There's nothing there that we can find. But in general, what I would say after reviewing the literature is that it's going to be a very small effect if we find anything, okay? But let's try. Let's try to improve the method to increase the sample size of all playoff teams and build a structure based off Nate Silver's playoff success points, this PSP rubric that Nate Silver developed. Let's make a better one. Let's include all teams that we can and increase the sample size and the statistical power. So even though past research has suggestion about what works in the playoffs, nothing is overwhelming, but we decided to try anyway because that's EJ. He kept saying, let's keep looking at it. So this is the basis of what we did. We looked at regular season winning percentage, which seemed to be always coming up as the most important variable. Your regular season winning percentage is the most important predictor of your playoff success. So that was our mini gold standard as we approached developing a method that we thought would be the best. And trust me, this is EJ's work. EJ was persistent at it, and he kept moving forward trying to develop a better method. And EJ's going to tell you about the results he had. Okay, so.
All right, so here we go. Maybe a little bit of persistence, maybe a little bit of annoyingness here. That's okay. You guys can deal with it. All right, so we created a little bit of our initial model based on Nate Silver's PSP model here. Many statistics change over time, as we plenty of know here, and that looking at our graphic here, that we have a point system ready to go. 3 points for making the playoffs here, for the divisional and the championship, 3 and 4 respectively. And 4 points for winning the World Series, 1 point for a postseason win, and -1 for a postseason loss. And our goal of our study was to determine a better method to study this question here. And we improved this in a couple of ways. Looking in Stover's study, we only had the years from 1995 to 2006. As we know, not the biggest sample out there in the world. And we want to increase statistical power. We want to know. We want to maximize these points together and understand what's going on in the grand picture of things. We made multiple adjustments here, first accounting for the older rounds and the other rounds where the playoffs have expanded. So looking at the years 85 to 93, we adjusted this to 4 points for playoff entry and 3 points for winning the league championship series. And we set for all years 5 points for the World Series. And one of our most important methods here is a statistical method that some of you may know as point-biserial correlation. And for those of you who don't know what point-biserial correlation is, it's a method which assigns, for us in our case, a series win and a game win as a 1 for a win and a 0 for a loss. And it adds a total score and compares it through a correlation coefficient, and this correlation coefficient calculates the weight of each game. And we made a couple adjustments through this and understanding the weights of each round, with adjusting from the year 69 to 84, 2 points for the championship series and 7 points for the World Series. And then from the years 85 to 93, 3 points for the championship series and 6 points for the World Series. And from 93 onwards, remember there's no playoffs in 94 due to the strike. We did 4 rounds for each, the divisional, championship, and World Series. But we wanted to have one whole model here, and that was a little bit of a constraint because we all know it took more wins and more rounds to win the World Series here. So just a quick adjustment. You can see the calculations up here, but we have a little bit of 7 wins to 8 wins from 1984 to 85, and then we made a quick adjustment from 8 to 11 wins needed to win the World Series from 93 onwards. And from here, we also made a quick point adjustment, too, for the amount of points you could win total per round, and that was from 9 to 12. Consider it a little bit similar to, like, the dollar changing over time. We all know inflation changed the dollar over time, and we need to compare it from year to year. Plus statistics are quite important and used to standardize the data, and many statistics over time have changed. I mean, look at strikeouts per nine here. There's so much difference and variation between our years from 1960 until today. We have a change from about 9 today, and even 10 years ago, where we're at about 7. And we need to know how to compare almost apples to apples. So each year, using a plus statistic, which is a scale of 1 out of 100 here, we ran this. So example, look at 150 for a plus statistic in strikeouts per nine. That is 50% above the league average. And I mean, if my pitching staff had a 150 strikeout per nine rate, I would be very impressed, and we can see that good things are going to happen with the staff here. And we were able to compare these seasons nominally and have a notionally common scale from all the years from from just beginning in 69 to now. And looking at our data too, we use other batting and pitching and fielding data and run this plus statistics because we all know these change over time too. And one of our biggest results here, as Andy earlier said, winning percentage is quite important, and it is one of our best predictors. And throughout all of our models and all of our model edits, we see these teams that have 600-plus win percentages. They have their highest PSPs. Not all the teams are there, and it's not perfect, but we see that a lot of these teams are just quite successful, and that the importance of merging our models from one from all these different eras and these point values from these different eras is important, and we need to know that these are equal. And when running through our correlations, we found these five variables here in my graph are most statistically significant and have the highest correlation values overall. And look at the four of these five variables. Many of you may know these already. They're pitching statistics. And this is something quite important here, as we know that pitching is an important factor in the playoffs, and it helps us win. And this helps prove that our data follows normality and is truly predictors of our PSP. Now a little bit more, a bigger dive into pitching here. And we look at some of these notionally common stats, average plus, ERA minus, WHIP plus, and they are statistical benchmarks for pitching staffs. But the most correlated and statistically significant metric out of everything we measured here is left on base percentage plus. Leveraging control of base runners and runners on base is so important in the playoffs and so important in the regular season for these teams to see that they can succeed. We all know a team's pitching staff must minimize the damage when the runners they allow on. Pitchers are going to, no matter what, or the defense, no matter what, will allow runners on. We need to stop this damage, and we need to improve it. And I encourage everyone after this presentation here to look into Baseball Reference or any one of your favorite statistical websites and look at left on base percentage plus. See who the leaders are. I'll tell you the leader for this year, Tony Gonsolin. As you all may know, he is having just an excellent season this year. Run production as a team, measured by weighted runs created plus, is still quite significant to PSP. Teams needed to find run production to support their pitching. But we see that offensive production is down in the playoffs, partly due a little bit to weather, but largely due to pitching. What teams and what pitching staffs and what pitchers are we going to see in the playoffs? They're going to be your top pitchers in the league. And we see that overall, these teams with the better pitching staffs are here in the playoffs, and they make a good run. We developed an improved metric to measure playoff success of teams who made the playoffs, as we made point adjustments along with balancing the playoff round points using point by serial correlation model. Left on base percentage plus is important as it minimizes the runners part and effectively limits an opponent's offensive production. A team must have a solid pitching staff in order to compete with the top hitters and offenses in this league. And we know that batting and fielding also have a role in playoff success because a team without a solid foundation of these parts of the team allow you to have an elite team and a team who can make a deep run in the playoffs. Thank you. Go for it.
Hello. Great job, EJ. Two questions. So you list, I guess there were five factors, right? Left on base percentage is the biggest.
Yes.
Were the other four, did they have about the same effect, or was it like, man, this was mainly LOB percentage and the rest were kind of tiny?
I guess kind of to go back here, just to help you out a little bit, we do see that left on base and average plus per pitchers have the highest significance and correlation with p-values here, and these are significantly below 0.01, which is unbelievable in the statistics world. But the other three have less of an effect, but they're still quite important, and we see that with left on base percentage, this leverage of runners does something great here.
Perfect. So it's those two, and then maybe the other three is like a second tier. Makes sense.
Yes.
Also, second question, were there any outliers, like particular teams that did not fit any of the regression lines that were kind of crazy stories?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have a couple teams here. So looking at that, the 108, and they're about four playoff success points here. These teams, you know, they tend to struggle. It's not an end-all, be-all here. And it is a good predictor, but, you know, every team, you know, they may not compete as well in the playoffs, or, you know, they regress or they do the opposite of what they have done in the regular season sometimes. You know, that's just probability here.
All the numbers are great, but banging on a garbage can trumps everything.
It's easy to swing the bat when you know fastball's coming, slider's coming, you know, it's coming away or in, you know. Helps me out for sure.
Yeah, great presentation. Plus, statistics also take ballparks into account to compare across league teams.
Right.
So if you studied that at all, did you find that ballparks played an outsized or minimal role in these era comparing statistics?
They do have a little bit of weight, and, you know, I think the plus statistic generally has a good enough role for that.
Could you please tell us about home field?
Home field, okay.
Well, I would say we didn't put that in this analysis at all, but in general, as you study home field, it's about a 4 or 5% advantage, and that's still true in the playoffs. I haven't looked at playoffs home field versus regular season home field, but I've never seen anything that indicates it's significantly different.
It's the same.
It's the same. Okay, we get the answer. So we didn't put it in our model at all. 5 minutes?
Oh.
Question.
Oh, okay.
Last night at Oriole Park, which is down second from the bottom in home runs allowed, they were just blowing them out. So, mostly attributed to the August humidity, warm weather, it changed.
We, looking at all the previous research, they all take into account and try to explain October baseball as being a reduced run scoring environment just for this effect. There is a change in offensive performance throughout the year. It's the highest in the summer months. And it's the lowest in April and October and September. That's when the lowest offensive production is, lower run scoring. That's known. Now it's 5 minutes? Oh, okay. What side are we on?
Oh, yeah. So you talked about how, like, teams aren't, like, hot as a consideration. Did you consider, like, post-deadline record teams who made huge improvements over the deadline? Did you consider that as a factor, teams who made moves like that and their playoff success?
We didn't do that. Russell Carlton's done a lot of this work, and he keeps showing that any segment of being hot, week, month, many months, has no half a season, has no predictive quality towards playoff success.
Yeah, also to add on to this too, a little bit, Silver did a little bit of this too, and he saw teams after August 31st, and I believe he did one for two right after the trade deadline, or what would be typically the trade deadline. It was near zero correlation and most certainly not statistically significant.
Okay, thank you.
Hey guys, we talked a couple of days ago. One thing that my friend and I in 1987 found was we looked at winning percentages against the teams that they played in the playoffs. You know, in the old days, you know, like when the Orioles were playing the Twins or whatever, and we found that there was a correlation to a certain point, and then it flipped. Have you guys looked at that? Like, let's say I know this is just a one piece of data, one statistic that I know as a Phillies fan in 2011, I did not want the Phillies to play the Cards because we all knew that the Cards were the toughest team for them to play. Does that have any, do you know if that has any bearing?
My thought on that is that this falls into the real problem of all of playoff studies of very small sample sizes. So there's all our observations around this sort of thing, your observation, I don't want to play that team because, but that really doesn't suffer trying to increase sample size as a question. So we didn't look at it, unfortunately, but it's because we really were aiming for much larger sample sizes.
Well, as I said before, when I get home, I will try to go through my archives and find the study that we did, and I will send it off to you.
Thank you so much. That'd be great.
It's common in player projections for 23 to not only take in 22 data, but 21 and 20. Did you or did anyone else do some research that used other than current year statistics to predict playoff success?
Well, the first conversation when EJ walked in my office literally was, hey, I want to learn what works in the playoffs. And literally my answer, I'm pretty sure in my recollection, was, yeah, I want Babe Ruth, I want Pedro, I want Mariano Rivera. Now, so, but taking projection systems into this, we never did that.
Prior year data.
Right. So what we thought, the key data point we thought was important was a team season set of data, what they did that season, and how it related to the rest of the league, and that's what a plus statistic really does. So we liked team season plus statistics of the playoff teams as our data set to see if there's any, in that data set, is there anything that correlates with playoff success? And there's lots of different ways to measure playoff success, but we kept iterating a model to try to find the best one. And trust me, I'm yammering on here, but that's all EJ's work. EJ did all this. We are finished. One more question.
All right, great work. So you guys found that winning percentage in the regular season was the greatest predictor, and then you also found other stats like left on base percentage and WRC plus. And what I'm wondering is when you examine those individual stats, were you looking at how much predictive value they added on top of regular season winning percentage, or did you look just independently at each of them? Because they are also correlated heavily with regular season winning percentage, and so are you just finding the same thing?
Absolutely true. You're right. We did it independently. Okay, so we determined our model as best by using one statistic, which we read on all the research was the gold standard. So that was winning percentage in the regular season. But then we thought, is there anything special about playoff teams and their success in the playoffs, irrespective of winning percentage? Huge correlations between our stats and winning percentage for sure, but we were just looking at these statistics. This is fundamentally a small effect, okay? Fundamentally a small effect.
But you haven't shown that it's any effect that's greater than what's, I mean, winning percentage alone might be a better predictor than if you add the other stats to it. That's what hasn't been tested.
We did it independently,
right,
of winning percentage in our, no, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me help.